reading from Psalm 104. Now, I've spread readings out around the congregation, so I'm going to ask everyone to stay where they are to do their reading. But we start with Michael's going to read verses 1 to 4.
Praise the Lord, my soul. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are clothed with majesty and glory. You cover yourself with light. You have spread out the heavens like a tent and built your home on the waters above. You use the clouds as your chariot and ride the wings of the wind. You use the wings as your messengers and flashes of lightning as your servants.
You have set the earth firmly on its foundations, and it will never be moved. You placed the ocean over it like a robe, and the water covered the mountains. When you rebuked the waters, they fled. They rushed away when they heard your shout of command. They flowed over the mountains and into the valleys, to the place where you had made for them. You set a boundary they can never pass, to keep them from covering the earth again.
You make springs flow in the valleys, and rivers run between the hills. They provide water for the wild animals. There the wild donkeys quench their thirst. In the trees nearby, the birds make their nests and sing. From the sky you send rain on the hills, and the earth is filled with your blessings.
You make the grass grow for the cattle, and plants for us to use, so that we can grow our crops, and produce wine to make us happy, olive oil to make us cheerful, and bread to give us strength. The cedars of Lebanon got plenty of rain, the Lord's own trees which he planted. There the birds built their nests, the storks nest in the fir trees, the wild goats live in the high mountains, and the rock badgers hide in the cliffs.
You created the moon to mark the months. The sun knows the time to set. You made the light and in the darkness all the wild animals come out. The young lions roar while they hunt, looking for the food that God provides. When the sun rises, they go back and lie down in their dens. The people go out to do their work and keep working until evening.
Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. The earth is filled with your creatures. There is the ocean, large and wide, where countless creatures live, large and small alike. The ships sail on it, and in it plays the Leviathan, the sea monster which you made.
All of them depend on you. You give them food when they need it. You give it to them and they eat it. They provide food and they are satisfied. When you turn away, they are afraid. When you take away your breath, they die and go back to the dust from where they came. But when you give them breath, they are created. You give them new life to the earth.
May the glory of the Lord last forever. May the Lord be happy with what he has made. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they pour out smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God. May he be pleased with my song, for my gladness comes from him. May sinners be destroyed from the earth. May the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's sing. Now then, it's a bank holiday weekend. What does bank holiday mean to you? The banks are closed.
Lots of traffic.
Traffic?
Usually bad weather.
Strikes.
I want to take you back in time. First of all, in the UK, to the days of an agricultural society. A time when the land was farmed and the year was ordered around farming. The day is ordered by sunrise, sunset, the crowing of the cockcorn, and the cost of candles to light the house after dark. The week is structured around market days and Sundays, the one day when all the essential work stops and you put on your Sunday best to come to church. You might have a routine washing day or a baking day, which helps you keep track of time. The year is ordered around what the farm is doing: calving, lambing, planting, fertilising, shearing, haymaking, depending on what type of farm it is, and various different harvests before the land is ploughed in preparation for the next year's crops. I found it really interesting to discover that the school summer holidays in Scotland are earlier than ours because their harvest is earlier than ours, and the schools have closed so the children could help with the harvest. But in this year is another order too, and that's the church year. Festivals such as Christmas, Easter, Whitsun or Pentecost, and various different saints' days break up the working year. As a nation becomes more industrialised, some of these days are set aside as public holidays, where the factories and shops shut and the workers can go to church. They are holy days, and such is the rhythm of life, reminders of God's grace throughout the year. Celebrations and fasts and feasts and rememberings that give structure to the day, week, year. Don't get me wrong, it's not all wonderful. Life is hard, work is hard. These holy days are likely the only holiday many people get. No 2 weeks in the sun in Ibiza, or even 2 weeks in the rain on the Isle of Wight. Some of us would struggle to say if the shops were shut now a few days off work, wouldn't we? But life has a rhythm. The nation has a rhythm which is not seen. Nature works in this rhythm, breathing in, breathing out, a heart beating, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. I worked in the cardiac ward at the hospital. There's a condition where that ba-dum gets disrupted. Ba-ba-ba-dum, ba-dum-dum, ba-ba-ba. One bit of the heart is firing on a different rhythm. The heart goes a little bit crazy. You get very high, erratic pulse rates, and it can make you quite ill. I wonder if our lives are sometimes like that. We lose the sense of rhythm, try to keep going faster and faster, or we keep going while someone else stops, or we stop while someone else is still rushing. Life wasn't meant to work like that. I want to read to you from Matthew 11. Verses 28 to 30. And I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wonderful words from Jesus. We're going to sing again. In the beginning, God created the world. Whether it was actually 7 days or not is up for debate. But he ordained that for 6 days we should work, and the seventh day we should rest. It is a holy day. A rhythm for our week. As they walked in the wilderness, God set the Israelites various festivals, marking different points in their year. Holy days. Days to rest and to reconnect with the God who leads, provides, and redeems. A rhythm in the year, reminding them of God's presence at all times and in all seasons. A chance to celebrate in the busyness of life. I must confess I've been incredibly stressed the last couple of weeks. Well, most of the summer, to be honest. Summer holidays are not very relaxing, are they? Especially when essay deadlines are fast approaching. But we all have those times that seem just non-stop busyness sometimes. But as I write this, I realise busy times and stressful times can still be part of that rhythm, as long as they're balanced by the other times where we can find rest and refreshment. So what are your rhythms? What marks off your week? Where in that week do you take your Sabbath rest? What marks off your year? Where in that year do you find time to celebrate God? Not just our years, but our lives are marked by a rhythm of seasons that come and go. The springtime, when everything is fresh and new and exciting. New people, new places, anticipating all the possibilities. The summers of growth and enjoyment and relaxation, when things swim along and life comes easily. The autumns of productivity, harvesting and hard work, but enjoyment of what you've done. And the winters, when nothing much seems to be happening. And it's all we can do to keep going. To work without results. Trusting in the work that God is doing beneath the surface. What season are you in today? The changing of the seasons can be a time of difficulty. Have you ever noticed that as we go from spring into summer, a sunny day at 16 degrees and we're all out in t-shirt and shorts? As we go from summer into autumn, the same day brings out jumpers and coats. Adjusting to the change takes time. And sometimes our own seasons do the same. I remember adjusting from work to motherhood and the increasing demands. Even more so in single parenthood. I know for others, adjusting from business to retirement, or different demands on our time or our physical abilities that limit us from doing what we used to be able to do is difficult. But it's part of the rhythm of life. So where in those seasons can we find the God that gives rhythm to all things? How can we take time to bless him in it? We have to remember that our lives are held in his hands and that these times are a part of so that's our life. But the same goes for church. Church life also works in rhythms. It's a bit of a tension for me because I like to try different things, but at the same time I really like routine and regularity. I've recently got back into a better daily routine with my prayer life, which is a real blessing. Sundays tend to be a busy day in church for many of us, and other points in the week too where we pause to reconnect with each other and with God, be it over tea and chat or in a Bible study or prayer meeting. Now it is possible to try and do it all, and sometimes that goes a bit fast and out of control too, like that heartbeat that gets out of sync. We have to remember to find those unforced rhythms of grace. But we also have to breathe out as well as to breathe in. Try breathing in. Take a nice deep breath. Now breathe in some more. And some more. How does that feel? Surely it should be good. We breathe because we need oxygen. All we need to do is take it in, isn't it? We can't live by just taking in. And our spiritual lives, our church life, can't live by just breathing in God and what he and the church have to offer. We also have to breathe out. To breathe out the stuff that isn't good in our lives, yes. But also to breathe out that life-giving air to others. To give back to church. To give away to those outside the church. That too is part of the rhythm that God intended for our lives. That's our moment-by-moment rhythm. And our weekly rhythm. We still acknowledge the church seasons, albeit we don't revolve around saints' days as much as the medieval church. But we know, for example, harvest, Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, those special times in church life where we have a particular focus. And then summer, the time of rest, the time when it all stops. Claire Blatchford, our regional minister, wrote a thought for the week last week, which I think sums it up. She said, "For me, August is a month where the diary, inbox and phone messages go strangely quiet. This is not a challenge for you to try and change that. It's still the traditional holiday month when we take time away from normal activities before we enter the silly season, September through to Christmas. Many churches don't have the usual meetings and activities during the school summer holidays. Even the TV schedule changes. But come September, everything starts up again. The new TV series begin. As I write this, the final contestant of this year's Strictly Come Dancing has just been announced. and the autumn round of meetings happen once again. Suddenly there isn't a free night in the diary. Perhaps your life also has cycles like that, the calm before the storm. I believe the month of August is always an important time. It is a time given to us to prepare for the new challenges and opportunities that will arise in the coming months.
Bingo!
I will get you in a second. Some of them we know about already. Other things will crop up in the coming months. We all need those quieter times to help us prepare for the busier ones. Jesus certainly had them in his life, and he regularly created space to be still, to listen, to prepare and to anticipate all that was to come. I encourage you during these coming weeks to follow his example. The last quarter of 2023 will no doubt be a hive of activity for each one of us. So why not take the opportunity during a quieter time to prepare for the busier one, which is to come. I will give out some prizes because I heard some bingos there. The life of the church has seasons, just as our own lives have seasons. Spring times of work and growth and fruitfulness. Summers of enjoyment and perhaps relaxation. Autumns of preparation and settling down. Winters where nothing much seems to happen and hard work seems to bring no results. Unfortunately, they don't always go in order. We're entering a new season in our church life, and I can't say what that season looks like. What I can say is that God will be in it. That his grace is great, whether in the excitement of summer or productivity of harvest, or in the cold of winter where all the work is going on underground and everything looks bleak. God is there. The point is, we need to recognise those seasons. We can't harvest in springtime. We'll do nothing but uproot seedlings. If we look for growth in winter, we're likely to become discouraged and give up. But if we listen to God, if we learn the rhythms of his grace and work with him in them, we find that work becomes a joy. That there are times for feasting and celebration, times for rest and refreshment, as well as prayer, work and discipline. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you order our lives with your rhythm, that we might live well and faithfully. Help us to work alongside you, to learn that rhythm rather than fighting it with our own desires and needs, so that we might know your joy and peace. Help us to know you in every season and worship you as Lord and Saviour, seeing your grace in good times and in difficulties. In Jesus' name, amen.